Father. And every faith, heart, fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the new year. Welcome to 2016. I'm Jeff Cavins, and this is the Rediscover Hour with a very special holiday edition where we're looking into the new year and talking about our relationship with the Lord, making the adjustments that are necessary, and it's just good to have you. We're going to spend an hour together. We've got some music, and I've got my Bible open here. I've got my coffee. We're going to spend some time together and talk a little bit about where we've been, but mostly where we're going with the new year. You know, this last year has been quite a tumultuous year in terms of world history and all the problems in the Middle East and so forth. Perhaps it's been a tumultuous year in your life. And, you know, the new year, this day, if you're listening on the first, is an opportunity to make some adjustments. I like it a lot, actually, because, you know, it does give you an opportunity to kind of start over with some new goals and some new priorities in your life. Kind of reminds me of being a kid. If you are younger than 30, you might not remember this. But if you're older than 30, you probably had an Etch-a-Sketch. You remember that red piece of plastic where it had two knobs and you could make lines horizontal, vertical, and all of that. And that was an awful lot of fun. And you'd get to a point where you'd realize, you know what, this thing isn't turning out the way I thought it was going to. And what would you do? How do you get rid of it? You shake it. You got a brand new Etch-a-Sketch page to write something new, to draw something new. And I think that the new year is kind of a spiritual / emotional Etch-a-Sketch. But it gives you an opportunity to do something beautiful and something new. And I like that. I like that a lot. One of the things my wife and I do at the end of every year, which you probably do too, and in fact, I don't think you can help it if you watch television, is that every show has this review of what happened in the last year. And one of the things that they always talk about is who died this last year. You know, the celebrities, the singers, the songwriters, the television hosts, the sports stars, and all of that. And it always kind of blows my mind, you know, as I look back and think, wow, there's a lot of really famous people that passed away this last year. And then you think, well, who will it be this coming year? And sure enough, in a year from now, there'll be a whole list of people that we knew and we grew up with, and they're gone now. Bottom line is, time is fleeting. And it goes by, and it goes by really quick. And what we do with it really spells out our life. It paints our life, what we do on a daily basis. A day is made up of minutes, and the decisions that we make in those minutes constitutes a beautiful or a disastrous day. And what we do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, really paints a life. And so every day becomes important, and today God has given you kind of a new canvas for the new year. So what are you going to do with it? You're going to make some changes this year. You're going to make the customary New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions without a plan really doesn't end up amounting to a whole lot in our lives. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. I want to talk about New Year's resolutions and moving forward. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some of mine, and it'd be interesting to know what yours are too. And you remember, you know, to give you an idea of how fast time goes by, doesn't it seem like just yesterday that you had that bottle of distilled water, can of beans, and some dry goods in the closet preparing for Y2K? It just seems like yesterday, but it was 16 years ago that we were sitting there at the strike of midnight waiting for all the power grids to go down around the country, and absolutely nothing happened. Time goes on. And this year is going to go by quickly too. So let's talk about what we're going to do this year. Let's talk about change. And we've got another special song for you also this hour by Ali Aaliyah, the Visitation song. We're going to be playing that just a little bit later. She's such a really talented, talented musician. So God is going to visit you this year. What are we going to do with it? You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about New Year's resolutions.
Do you remember what you were doing in 1985? Maybe you were cheering for Michael Jordan, NBA's Rookie of the Year, or collecting Cabbage Patch dolls, or trying your first taste of new Coke. It's safe to say not everything from 1985 is still around today. But St. Paul's Outreach is, and we're celebrating 30 years of ministry in Minnesota with a benefit banquet on Mardi Gras, Tuesday, February 9th. Join local SPO missionaries and supporters for an evening of fellowship, faith, and fun as we share highlights of our mission. You'll learn more about how we build Catholic communities that awaken faith on campus and form lifelong disciples. Plus, we'll be honoring two of our alumni for their service to the church, Bishop Andrew Cousins and Sister Gloria Therese of the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. Space is limited, so register today by visiting www.spoweb.org. That's www.spoweb.org. See you there.
First day of the year, 2016. I'm Jeff Cavins. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Hopefully this year you'll rediscover an even more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. As we look at this new year, you know, we want to talk about making decisions and talk about making the most of every opportunity and how we do that. But I want to start off by just talking a little bit about our life in general. Where are you going in life right now? If you continued going in the direction that you're going right now, and if you did for the rest of your life what you're doing right now, at the end of your life, would you look back and say, that was a good life? That was a good life. Or would you look back with some, you know, remorse and say, I wish I would have done things differently? I like what St. Thomas says about prudence. I think the name prudence, first of all, the word prudence gets a bad rap. You know, people think of prudence or imprudent as being really a negative word. Prudence is actually a very positive word. And St. Thomas talks about how prudence is going to the end of your life and to where you would like to be. You know, where would you like to be at the end of your life? And of course, we're not guaranteed the number of days, so we've got to act like every day is really, really important. But where would you want to be at the end of your life? Then turn around and come back to the present and make the appropriate decisions in order to attain that goal that you want for your life, for your marriage, for your children, for your grandchildren. That's being a prudent person. A prudent person is someone who makes wise decisions with the end in mind. And I've got to tell you that as Americans, oftentimes we don't make very wise decisions with the end in mind because we have a tendency to just live for today. You know, just live for today, get as much fun out of today, and eat, drink, and be merry. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow, so we have to live in a prudent way every single life. But think about the kind of life that you would really like to live. It might be a pipe dream. It might be way out there, and you're thinking, I'll never attain that. Well, you know the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. The way you live a good life, a great life, is by making decisions every day that are going to contribute to that great life. Happiness is something we all want, huh? We all do. I want to be happy. You want to be happy. You want 2016 to be a happy year. Well, the modern notion of happiness could really be defined as, I'm happy when I am comfortable and all my needs are met. The problem with that is that that's unrealistic. most people's lives, their needs are not going to be met at times, and there's going to be times when they're uncomfortable or they're confronted with suffering of some kind, whether it be physical or emotional suffering in their life. But I like what the ancients often said. They would say, people like Aristotle, St. Thomas, St. Augustine, that happiness doesn't come as a result of just feeling good or pursuing the temporal good. But happiness comes as a result of living a good life. And you live a good life when you live according to the will of God. You find out, Lord, what is your will for my life? How should I conduct myself as a man or a woman? How should I conduct myself as a husband? How should I conduct myself at work? And you live that way, regardless of how you feel, regardless of the external circumstances, you live a good life, a holy life. And if you do that, there's a good chance you're going to be a happy person, because happiness is thoroughly seated in doing the will of God. And so if you're going to have a good year in 2016, one of my suggestions would be this. Begin to arrange your life in such a way that you give yourself the best opportunity to serve God and to walk with God. And right now in your life, if you're living your life and you are not giving God a place in your life, then the odds are you're going to be very, very frustrated. And you're going to stifle that move of God in your life. But I've been thinking about that in my own life too, as I look at 2016 now, that in terms of my time, how do I give God the best this year? Before I even get into New Year's resolutions, let's talk about some of these basic building blocks. How do I give God the time in 2016? Is my life so busy right now? Is your life so busy right now that God is going to have to sneak in the cracks? Or he's going to have to find time in the margin of your life rather than at the center of your life? So before you come up with your New Year's resolution for 2016, you might want to take a look at that question. Do I have time for God? Because if you don't have time for God in 2016, then what kind of New Year's resolutions are you going to make? And do they really, really matter if God is not at the center of your life and he's not at the core of the decision-making process in your life? So in my life, I'm going to have to make some decisions that God will be first in my day, and that I can take just a few minutes at the beginning of the day, maybe it's 15 minutes or a half an hour at the beginning of the day, where I can spend with God and his word and listen to his voice, come to know his voice every single day. So that becomes a priority. So if my New Year's resolution this year is to come to know the voice of the Lord intimately, more intimately, I should say, then I need to make the decision, when am I going to listen to him? When am I going to spend that time opening up his word and listening to him? So time is really, really important. But what about the physical things in your life? What about your material goods, your belongings? Is this a year that you'll continue to accumulate? Or is this a year where you will simplify your life so that you can hit the target when it comes to the New Year's resolution? I think so often it's the physical things in life, it's the material goods, it's the shiny toys that get in the way and preoccupy us. They get in the way of us attaining that inner goal that we have, which is to be with God and to spend time with God and to work on virtue in our own life. If your goal this year is to work on some particular virtue, whether it be patience or kindness or gentleness or whatever it might be, then you need to set the table with time and set the table with material goods that they're not going to preoccupy your life. But then we have a third thing, and that's your schedule. Was your schedule crazy in 2015? Were there certain times of the year or times of the week that were just out of control that maybe you could do something about it going into 2016? Well, take a look at your schedule and find out, do you need to cut some things out? Do you need to put some things in with your family, spiritual direction, maybe daily mass? Have you wanted to go to confession this last year, but you, in retrospect, you say, you know what? Boy, I didn't nail that New Year's resolution. Well, the reason you didn't nail that New Year's resolution probably is because you didn't plan for it. You just let life kind of hit you in the face. And when life just hits you in the face, typically your priorities and those things that you said were really, really important are swallowed up by the tyranny of the urgent in your life. And so time is important. Your calendar is important. The physical aspect of your life. What I'm saying is give yourself an opportunity. Give yourself the best opportunity possible to attain those godly New Year's resolutions. Just something to, you know, to think about there. You know, as I was preparing for this special edition of the Rediscover Hour, I was thinking back to some scripture that reminds me of really two things. One is, what does God say about your future? You know, what are you thinking, first of all, about your future? Does it look good? Does it look bad? Are you a little nervous? And then secondly, and I'll give you some scripture for that, by the way, in just a moment, so you might want to grab your pen and paper or pull over into that parking lot so you can write some of these things down. The second thing is, you know, how do you actually turn the ship around in your life? If you're going in one direction and you don't see any possibility of really turning this ocean liner around, I'm going to give you some tips for that too. So let's look into the scripture for a moment and see what God has to say about the past and about the future. I love what it says in Ephesians 5, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and it's interesting because, you know, the Ephesians, which is on the southwest corner of modern-day Turkey, he says to the Ephesians, be careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity. Know the will of God. Now, he's saying this to a people who historically did not need to be corrected doctrinally. If you read the epistle to the Ephesians, you'll see that it's the only epistle that Paul writes where he doesn't correct. These people really knew their faith really well. They were a seaport city. They knew their faith very well. St. Ignatius even writes later that they don't even allow any error to come into their community. So, you know, theologically and, as far as dogma goes and theology and apologetics, these people were spot on. I mean, they knew their faith. But what does Paul encourage them to do? He doesn't say, well, know more, which there's nothing wrong with knowing more for sure. But what does he say? He says, be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. And then he goes on and says, you need to make the most of every opportunity. Or as one translation says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Make the most of every hour in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you can't relax and, you know, you're involved with recreation, but it means that you make the most of every opportunity, the most of every encounter, the most of every single day. And then he goes on and he says, no, how do you do that? How do you make the most of every opportunity? You know the will of God. Isn't that powerful? You make the most of every opportunity in 2016 going forward by doing what? Knowing the will of God. How do you know the will of God? Well, you know the will of God through a number of avenues. One is certainly sacred scripture. If you're not reading scripture on a regular basis, then you're compromised right away when it comes to knowing the will of God. If I want to know, you know, as a kid, I want to know the will of my father growing up. I'm going to have some kind of relationship with him, whether it's a letter, a phone call, sitting down over the kitchen table, taking a ride in the car, going on vacation, whatever it might be. But I need a relationship with my father. And likewise, if you want to know the will of God, which is the key to making the most of life and every opportunity, you have to have a relationship. You have to have a time to get together. So if you know the will of God, right away you can make some better decisions. For example, I am married. I'm the father of three. I'm the grandfather of two. Right away, I know that according to my vocation as a married man and as a father, there are certain things I must say yes to, and there are certain things I must say no to. So by just knowing my vocation, I have already narrowed down the opportunities, the choices that are before me. And then once I do that, then I have to determine, Lord, the details. What do you want me to do? So knowing the will of the Lord is very, very important. I'll give you an example, a practical example. I'm a father. And as a father, I have the responsibility to teach my children, to raise my children, to correct my children, to encourage my children. If I am faced with an opportunity in 2016 to spend time with my children who may really need me at a critical juncture. They're teenage girls, so you know that's almost daily. But they may need me, and I have the opportunity at the same time to go do something with a bunch of my, you know, friends that are guys. I need to make a decision. I need to know the will of God, and the will of God is to spend that time with my children. And if I make that choice and I act on it, that's what results in a happy life, when you do what God has called you to do. So do what Paul says. Be careful how you live in 2016. Avoid sin. Avoid sloth. Avoid anger that leads to sin. Avoid envy. Avoid these things. Be careful how you live. Become an artist with your life. And that is, paint a beautiful picture for God. Look at this whole year, 2016, as an opportunity for you to lay some paint down on the canvas that will, in the end, look like a beautiful life. But that happens only as a result of daily paying attention, making those decisions. Be careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity. Another tip that Paul gives us in his epistle, in Ephesians, or rather in Philippians, he says something powerful. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, he says, forget about the past. Forget about the past. And I think that's really a key to moving forward in the spiritual life, is that so often things have happened in the prior year, 2015 in this case, that can really weigh you down. Now, as a human being, you have been given tremendous gifts and insight. You are very much like God in the way that you are created. What do I mean by that? Well, God is everywhere. God is yesterday. He's there yesterday. He's here today. And he is already in tomorrow. He transcends time. Now, you can't do that physically. You cannot go back to yesterday physically. You can't go to tomorrow physically, but what you can do, which sometimes is good and sometimes is very bad, is that you can dwell on yesterday, and you can sit here today, but your mind and your heart are totally wrapped up in yesterday. The disappointments, the discouragements, even the victories. And likewise, you can be in tomorrow. Instead of living for today, you can be so fixated on tomorrow in terms of the fear that you might be experiencing that you don't actually live today. So one of the things Paul says is, he says this. He says, forget about the past. I'll read it to you right here. It's Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 15. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that also to you. only let us hold true to what we have attained. So hold to what you have attained. Forget about the past and press on towards the goal. That's really great, great advice. Also in the scripture, let me share with you just a few other scriptures you might want to write down and over this next week, this first week of the year, meditate on these. If you're doing Lectio Divina, these are great scriptures to engage in. One is Proverbs 23:18. God says, there is a future hope for you. There's a future hope for you. You see, God has put hope in your heart. It's one of the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. So when you were baptized, whether it was a baby baptism when you were just a baby a few days old, or whether it was just last year and you came into the church or a few years ago, when that happened, God infused you with hope. He gave you hope. And that hope for this next year is a hope that is not grounded in your talents, your abilities, your foresight, your ingenuity, your cleverness, your money. It's a hope that is based in His wisdom, His experience, His plan for your life. I love what the scripture says about hope. It says that hope is an anchor for the soul. So this year, as you move forward, my friend, be anchored in the hope that God has put in you. He says in Proverbs 23:18, there is a future hope for you in 2016. So dismiss that voice that wants to keep bringing you back and putting you down and telling you you're a worm and it's not going to work. This can be a new year for you if you're anchored in hope. I like what it says in Jeremiah also. In Jeremiah 29, God says, I have a hope and a future for you. I have a hope and a future for you. So if you're sitting here on the first day of the year or the rebroadcast on the 2nd of January, the 3rd of January, and you're saying, you know, I just don't see it. Well, maybe you don't see this year as being a great year, but I got news for you. God has a future for you. He does, and it's good. It's good, but you need to know that future. You need to walk with Him. And if this last year was not that life that you were looking for, then get a new life. Okay? Get a new life in Christ. Don't do the things you did last year. Don't make those mistakes. Don't go down that well-worn path of futility. But get on a new path with Christ, new habits with Christ, a new outlook with Christ, new hope with Christ. Jeremiah 31:17 says, there is a hope for your future. Go ahead and read Jeremiah 29 through 31. All of those chapters, 29, 30, 31, it talks about a new future and a new hope. And I like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know what he said? He said, it's got enough worry in itself. So if you're sitting here on January 1st and you're thinking about March 14th, what good is that going to do you? March 14th, it's got its own worries to worry about, and it's got its own problems that you're going to face. You live today. You be faithful today. You seek Christ today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't fear. Fear not. It's actually the number one phrase of Jesus. He said that more than any other phrase. Don't fear. Don't fear tomorrow. That's not the way that God wants you to live. And so before we take our break, I've got a break coming up here. I want to share some fantastic music with you on the other side of the break by Ali Aaliyah. But let me just recap before we take the break. You're looking at a brand new year right now. My friend, you have an opportunity with a blank canvas right now, with a blank Etch-a-Sketch. You got an opportunity to do something beautiful this year. I would encourage you not to make New Year's resolutions that are very surface, but make New Year's resolutions that are deep, and to make just maybe two or three resolutions in your life that are going to provide you with the best opportunity to attain holiness, to attain happiness with Christ this year. And that's probably going to be somewhere around your schedule, your disciplines, what you're going to do. Don't overdo it. Don't say, well, this year I'm going to read the Bible 5 hours a day. This year I'm going to go to daily mass twice a day. No, don't go out there with that kind of a New Year's resolution, but make two or three decisions that will give you the best opportunity to attain your goal of happiness and joy in the Lord and to fulfill your vocation, your vocational call. So that, once again, that's probably going to be related to your schedule. Maybe it's going to be 15 minutes. Maybe you didn't do that this last year, but this year it's every morning for 15 minutes or half an hour. Or maybe it's going to be 3 times a week I'm going to go to Mass outside of Sunday. Whatever it is you need to do, whatever you feel like the Lord is calling you to do, spend some time with Him today. Pray, ask the Lord, Lord, what do I need to do to attain holiness and to fulfill the call in my life? What do I need to do in terms of my schedule, number one? Number two, what do I need to do in terms of new practices in my life? It might be the rosary. It might be Bible reading. It might be a holy hour. It might be a mission trip. It might be spending time praying with your family. It might be reading a good book on the faith once a week, you know, one book a week, whatever it might be. If you read one small good book a week for the next year, 52 books. Think of all that you could gain in terms of understanding and insight. So you've got your schedule, you've got your disciplines, but I would also suggest one other thing, and that is this. Make some kind of resolution that you're going to work on some aspect of your life in the area of virtue and vice, and that you're going to tackle it this year. If you're struggling with sloth, if you're struggling with impatience, if you're struggling with anger, you're going to make it your goal this year to get on top of that. Now, I don't have the time to tell you how to do that in every area on this show, but I tell you what, if you press into the Lord and you pursue that relationship and you walk with the saints and, you know, use St. Google a little bit and go out there and find some answers on how to deal with the vice in your life and make it a goal, at the end of the year, my guess is you're going to be a happier person. Just some thoughts. When we come back from the break, I want to play a beautiful song for you that talks about the great visitation of Mary and Elizabeth. And I want you to think about how God wants to visit you this year and what the outcome of that visitation might be. And then I'm going to share with you a little bit about actually tilling the fallow ground in your life. How do you go about doing it in terms of your New Year's resolution? I'm Jeff Cavins, and this is the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rediscover. What a time for appliance savings from Minnesota specialists at Borner's Deli. Sometimes I tell you about some hot offers while I talk fast, and then I worry about whether you can understand me and what I'm trying to say. So, if you want to shop from all the very best brands, enjoy support from start to finish from true specialists, and get a low price guarantee, then choose Warner Stellion to be your appliance specialist. Go to Warner Stellion by January 4th for huge appliance savings, or shop warnerstellion.com and find the location nearest you.
The sponsors you hear every day on Relevant Radio play an important part in keeping our broadcast on the air here in the Twin Cities area. As a listener, you can help by reaching out to our sponsors first if you're in need of their goods or services. Let them know you appreciate their commitment to Catholic Radio through their sponsorship. We're thankful for our growing audience and the team of sponsors who help bring you our programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at AM 1330 Relevant Radio.
We really need to see ourselves as allies. And if God is speaking to you in the Catholic faith, well, you pay attention to that. But on the other hand, we Catholics need to, and I think Protestants need to do the same thing, have a respect that we love the same Lord. You know, people say, are you saved? Well, most Catholics don't speak evangelicalese. But if you said you love Jesus, oh yeah, I love, that's as saved as you can get. we have to stop savaging each other because the enemy is secularism.
Father Simon Says, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on Relevant Radio.
Walk in a room, you look out a window and something's there.
Welcome back to the first show of 2016, the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, talking about New Year's resolutions and what we need to do to fulfill those. They're fun to make, they're hard to fulfill, but there is a way to not only know what God wants for you, which I would argue is the content, it's the substance of your New Year's resolution, but you know what? He's also the one that gives you the power to fulfill that New Year's resolution. The New Year's resolution gives you an opportunity to walk into that spiritual etch-a-sketch and just paint something beautiful for the new year. You know, a lot of the people you watch on TV or listen to on the radio that come up with ideas on how to live your life and the plan and all of that, sometimes they're really good ideas, but they don't have the power to bring about the change in your life. But God does. He's got the power to change your life, but He needs your cooperation. My friend, this year He's going to visit you in many, many ways. At church, with your friends, perhaps even on a billboard, driving down the road, God may use the words on a billboard to warn you, to encourage you, whatever it might be. But this year can be a year of great change and possibilities, and it's all dependent upon your relationship with the Lord and how much time you're going to give to Him, both in knowing Him, but also in walking with Him and carrying out His will. I got a special song for you right now by Ali Aliyah. She's from Wisconsin. She works with Father Mike Schmitz, actually, up in Duluth, and has become a good friend. She has gone to Israel with me, and her younger sister went to Israel with me, and her youngest sister is going to Israel with me this year. Just a great family. It's a song called The Visitation, Ali Aliyah.
Spontaneous journey, still seeing Him glow like moonlight, overwhelmed by Your love that consumes me. It can still be. Come magnify the Lord with me. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. He has mercy on those who fear Him in every generation. He has shown strength of His arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in
call me blessed.
Get enough of that. Ali Aaliyah, The Visitation. She has come up with some beautiful music that we've played on the Rediscover Hour. You can go back and listen to some of the previous shows. The Visitation. And God is going to visit you too. You know, Blessed Mother visited with Elizabeth, and God wants to visit with you this year. And I hope you take him up on it. I really do. I want to talk about a principle going forward here that's really important to remember when we talk about New Year's resolutions, because no doubt, no doubt, last night, if you watch television for the New Year's Eve parties, you heard all kinds of New Year's resolutions. But a New Year's resolution, in some cases, is no different than just wishful thinking. You know, oh, I want to lose 30 pounds, you know, or oh, I want to learn a new language. Oh, I want to learn to play the clarinet or whatever it is. And it's just wishful thinking. Unless you do something to change, unless you respond in some way, some positive way that will make it possible for you to actually attain that resolution. So we're talking about New Year's resolutions today on the Rediscover Hour, and specifically, we're not talking so much about weight and that type of thing, but we're talking about you and your character and who you are and what you struggle with and how you can go about improving your walk with God. But there's a principle that I want to share with you. It's called this. It's called, what you sow is what you reap. You've heard that before, I'm sure. What you sow is what you reap. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, Paul talks about this. He says, a man reaps what he sows. That idea of sowing is this idea of taking a seed and putting it into the ground. What you put into the ground, you're going to reap. You put an apple seed in, you're going to get an apple tree. If you put a rose seed in, you're going to get rose bushes, rose bush. If I have that right, yeah. If you put an acorn in the ground, you're going to get a tree. What you sow is what you reap. But in your life, when it comes to the time that you spend, the money you spend, what you do with yourself, what you sow is what you reap. What you put into your family is what you're going to get out, good or bad. So it's a basic principle. What you sow is what you reap. And sometimes people, they put it like this. They say, well, he had it coming to him. Why do they say that? Well, that's what he was doing. You know, he's lived like that for so many years. He had it coming to him. What you sow is what you reap. So that's an important principle to remember as you go into this year, that what you sow is going to be very, very important. You sow by doing. It's prayer. It's action. It's time. It is the essence of who you are, given to some project or some effort in your life. If you want to reap patience, you must sow towards that. If you want to reap a life of holiness, you must sow. You must do accordingly. There's a really powerful, powerful verse in Hosea. Hosea is one of those prophets in the Old Testament. It's a longer book, but it's back on the edge of the major prophets with the minor prophets. And Hosea lived in the final days of the Northern Kingdom. We're talking about like 720 years before Jesus. And there was one king would murder another in the Northern Kingdom. That's called Israel in the north. Judah with two tribes was in the south. That's where Jesus comes from, Judah, Yehuda. Jews come from the south. And Israel, after the kingdom divided, they were in the north. Well, Israel was involved in Canaanite religion. And Hosea saw the failure of Israel to acknowledge God. Israel had turned to Baal worship and sacrificed at the pagan high places, which included associating with the sacred prostitutes at the sanctuaries and worshiping the calf image at Samaria. They also indulged in gross materialism. Man, that sounds like some modern times, doesn't it? You know, when we've got a culture today that is involved in gross materialism and involved with, false religions of our day and electronics and success and sports, the god of power and all of that. Well, Hosea's message was one of calling Israel to repentance. God wanted to move in their lives, but they had to repent if he was to bless them. He says in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, listen to this, it's a very powerful verse. He says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of an unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." Isn't that powerful? Listen to what he said again. Sow for yourselves righteousness. How do you do it? Well, you have to break up your unplowed ground, or what one translation says, the fallow ground. You have this ground that is, you've gone out in a cornfield before, haven't you? I mean, you've gone to a soybean field or the garden in the backyard of your house or a grandma's farm. And if you haven't done anything in that garden for a year or two, it's like a crust on the top of it. You can throw a seed over there, some corn seeds, but they're probably not going to take root because the ground needs to be broken up. It's unplowed. And so if you're going to sow seeds this year that will reap holiness in your life, then you're going to have to look at the ground in your life and determine, does this need to be plowed? Does this need to be worked so that the seed has a good chance? Well, the lesson to learn here is that when God moves in the lives of his people, he expects us to do our part. He does. And that's where we break up that fallow ground. We break up that crusted over earth. That's the important thing for us to do. In fact, as you go throughout the entire Bible, you'll see that before God moves in the life of his people, he asks them to do something in preparation. Let me give you an example here. In 2 Kings chapter 4, no oil was given until the vessels were gathered. God told them to gather the vessels, and then oil was given to them. In 2 Kings 5, no healing until the leper had dipped 7 times. So they had to do something. They had to do something to respond to the call of God, and then God moved powerfully in their life. In Joel chapter 2, no reconciliation without repentance. And then in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 3, in verse 5, as they are getting ready to cross over into the promised land and take Jericho, God says, "Sanctify yourselves." It's the Hebrew word kadosh. Kadosh, kadash, to be clean. Sanctify yourselves. It means to separate yourselves, prepare yourselves for something specific. And this is how you will know the living God is among you, if you will sanctify yourself. Kadosh is the word holy, holy, holy. It means utterly different. Sanctify yourselves. So I would just encourage you as you go into this new year And you've talked a little bit about making those New Year's resolutions in the various areas of your life, your calendar, the physical life, the things that you want to really accomplish in your life, like virtue. You need to focus on that. But when you make this New Year's resolution this year, sanctify yourself, separate yourself. You must respond to God. What are you going to do differently so that God can do something different in your life this year? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a lot of opportunities for you to get involved in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Some great things happening, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, hun. Our new insurance rates came in the mail today. They went up 50%.
What? We can't afford that. What is the name of that website we used last year? They were great.
InsureEasy.net. I have already signed us up for a personal phone appointment. A licensed professional will call us at our scheduled time.
So we don't have to call them?
Nope. They call us. No time wasted on hold, and we can compare our current plan with all available plans to find the one that best fit our needs and our budget.
Can we enroll over the phone?
Yes, or online. They even have a Spanish-speaking option.
That is so easy. I'm going to tell all my friends.
Yep, insureeasy.net. They have us covered.
insureeasy.net. Real people helping you find and understand the best health plan at the lowest possible cost. InsureEasy.net is a Catholic-owned and operated company.
insureeasy.net. They have us covered.
insureeasy.net.
By now, O Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Lots of things happening in the Twin Cities revolving around your faith, opportunities for you to get involved. I'm joined by Paul Sadek to give you all the latest. Paul, there is a lot happening.
A ton of things. Do you know someone who was raised Catholic but now feels separated from the church and seldom goes to Mass? Well, help bring them back home to the Catholic Church. No matter how long they've been away, no matter the reason, invite them to consider renewing their relationship with the church. St. Bartholomew in Wayzata offers a six-week series entitled Catholics Returning Home. It begins Tuesday, January 5th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the lower level of the church. Find out more. Call Andrew Allen at 952-473-6601.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the next Theology on Tap series presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith. The series will be held on Wednesday evenings from January 6th through February 3rd at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Social hour is from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., and the speaker begins at 7:30 p.m. Topics focus on faith and contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults. All evenings are free of charge. The series kicks off with Bishop Cousins on Wednesday, January 6th. For more information, visit www.cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
Mark your calendar for the St. Helena Women's Breakfast, Saturday, January 9th, 9 a.m. Featured speaker, Dr. Erica Kidd of the University of St. Thomas Catholic Studies Department. Join us at 8 a.m. morning mass, then join in fellowship and inspiration. Cost for the breakfast, $5. Call for reservation, 612-729-7321. That's 612-729-7321.
You are invited to the annual Prayer Service for Life at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, January 22nd at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This prayer service commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. Immediately following the prayer service, we will walk to the state capitol for the MCCL March for Life rally. For more information, please contact the Office for Marriage, Family, and Life at 651-291-291.
The Maternity of Mary Pro-Life Committee in St. Paul invites you to their 14th annual pro-life presentation and Italian dinner. Guest presenter will be Bishop Andrew Cousins. Evening begins Saturday, January 23rd, following 4:30 Mass. Proceeds of the event will go toward parish and community pro-life causes. Deadline for reservations, January 18th. Cost is $15 for ages 13 to adults. Contact the parish office for more details, 651-489-8825.
Sister Bridget Haas, Ursuline sister, author, speaker, and co-star of Spirit and Life, will present at St. Timothy's Parish Mission in Blaine on the evenings of Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, January 24, 25, and 26 at 7 p.m. The theme of the mission is Gracious, Grateful, and Generous Holiness in Everyday Life. Participants are invited to enjoy refreshments and visiting following each night's one-hour presentation. The rosary will be prayed at 6:30 each night in the church. For more information, call St. Timothy's Parish Office at 763-784-1329 or visit www.churchofsttimothy.com.
And what's up next week?
Coming up next week, well, you can join us with pastors Father Bear and Father Johnson in the Archdiocese here, and we're going to talk about how laity can work together with them in the new evangelization. It's going to be a great opportunity to hear from a pastor's perspective. What do you want us to do? Next on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.